In antiquity, snakes were often associated with wisdom, and in some mythologies, symbolized spiritual immortality, because they appeared to be reincarnated from themselves when they periodically shed their skins. In the ancient Sumerian culture, snakes were revered as a healing symbol, affiliated with the mysteries and initiation, which is also mirrored in esoteric interpretations of the Bible. One of the oldest and most widespread symbols, snakes, dragons, and serpents in general, were regularly regarded as guardians of the underworld, or messengers between the upper and lower worlds, because they lived in cracks and holes in the ground. The Gorgons of Greek myth were snake women hybrids whose gaze would turn flesh into stone, the most famous of them being Medusa. Nagas were human-headed snakes whose kings and queens lived in jewel-encrusted underground paradises. In Nordic myth, evil was symbolized by the serpent, or more specifically a dragon, who coiled around one of the three roots of the Yggdrasil tree of life. In ancient Slavic paganism, a deity by the name of Velos presided over the underworld, almost always portrayed as a serpent or dragon, where the underworld was part of a mythical tree guarded by Volos, the serpent god. The idea of snake people living below the earth was very prominent in Native American myth, which did not consist of one race or ethnicity before the Europeans arrived, yet they all seemed to subscribe to subterranean inhabitants. Mictlan is the underworld of Aztec mythology, and the Sioux Indians told of three brothers transformed into rattlesnakes, which lived below the surface permanently, helping and guiding their human relatives. The Hopi people told of a young man who ventured into the underworld and married a snake princess, and claimed that they themselves emerged from the inner earth below the Grand Canyon. The Pomo people, one of the indigenous tribes of California, have a legend of a woman who married a rattlesnake prince and gave birth to four snake children who freely moved between the two worlds of their parents. Of course, in the modern era, most myths have been misinterpreted and the symbolism has been confused with literal translations. For example, the Huns were a Eurasian people, mostly of Scythian descent, who were an Aryan people that used dragon symbolism, which is the reason many European myths are about knights fighting dragons who liked young virgin girls and burned down fields and villages. Their goddess was a dragon mother with serpentine legs, but they were essentially a mixed Slavic people, not reptilians. Another example is the serpent in the Bible, which comes from the Hebrew word nahash, meaning snake, which in its verb form is associated with divination, implying to practice divination or fortune telling, but some only imagine it to literally mean a talking snake. Another example are historic tribes that were called snake or serpent people, such as the ancient people of Ukraine. From the early centuries of the first millennia, the Khazars of Eastern Europe were known as the serpent people, which used snake or dragon symbolism and were not reptilians themselves. Similar to the biblical tribe of Dan, which used the snake as their symbol. Another example is the story of Saint Patrick, who was said to have driven out snakes from Ireland, a country that has never had snakes the entire duration of the Holocene. And instead, it's a story of the Roman Empire hiring British mercenaries to convert the people of Ireland and Scotland to Christianity, driving out the Druids and others collectively known as pagans. So it is in this context that we start today's episode, which deals with ancient legends of serpents, dragons, snakes, and lizards, which were taken by some to mean that they were about a different species, maybe descended from the dinosaurs, a bipedal reptilian, which may or may not exist, but is not what is implied in the folklore about civilizations that once lived above and below the surface in antiquity, which over time were forgotten and only remembered by their symbolism, incorrectly interpreted as dinosaur people, rather than being from an advanced human race that in many respects were more advanced than we are today. That said, in the summer and fall of 1933, a Los Angeles mining engineer named G. Warren Shuffelt was surveying the LA area for deposits of oil, gold, and other valuable materials using his new invention called a radio X-ray. It's a rectangular box on a tripod with a glass cylinder that encapsulates a copper wire dangling a small metal plate. After acquiring funds to do excavating, Shuffelt obtained permission from authorities to drill a 350-foot shaft. Shuffelt claimed he was able to locate gold and other precious resources at great depths using his invention, which operated based on a principle involving electrical similarities between matter and was said to have worked even at a distance of many miles. Shuffelt believed that by tuning into the individual frequency of a particular material, he could locate similar matter, and that the emanations and gravitational factors of matter influenced the pendulum so that, in principle, no two separate things were exactly alike. One day, while taking readings near downtown Los Angeles, Shuffelt's instruments revealed what seemed to be a pattern of tunnels leading from what is now the public library in the heart of downtown to the top of Mount Washington, and then to Pasadena in the north. What he had stumbled upon appeared to be a well-planned underground labyrinth which fed into large rooms located at various points with deposits of gold in the chambers and passages. Some of the tunnels of the underground city ran west for 20 miles under the Santa Monica Bay, connected by a series of additional tunnels to the ocean where the ebb and flow of seawater forced air into the labyrinths, which allegedly provided fresh air and ventilation. The tide passing daily in and out of the lower tunnel portals and forcing air into the upper tunnels cleansed and sanitized the lower tunnels, according to the legend. Shuffelt began to research the history of the area, and his quest to understand his findings led him to Chief Greenleaf, a Hopi Indian at a medicine lodge in Arizona, who told him about the legend of a lost civilization belonging to an advanced race of, quote, lizard people, not reptilians, but a racially Aryan people so named for the reverence of the serpent, snake, or lizard. They were allegedly a race of exceptional human beings who worshipped the serpent as a symbol of long life or spiritual renewal and immortality, laying out their underground labyrinth in the shape of a lizard. Shuffelt's radio wave machine mapped the rooms and tunnels as subsurface voids, with the gold slabs as dark areas, showing perfect geometrical angles. Water had seeped into some of the tunnels, and several of the rooms, including the largest, were flooded. Shuffelt was prepared to use divers to explore the submerged areas when they finally broke into the subterranean city. By the beginning of February 1934, the first shaft had reached a depth greater than 250 feet and was still being dug despite difficulty caused by the water encountered in its path. Several newspaper articles featured updates on the project. According to Shuffelt, the lizard people kept their secrets in a key room near the 2nd Street Tunnel. This underground room contained 37 4-foot-long golden tablets that recorded the history of the ancient Mayans and the origin of the human race. The legends are similar to other myths, such as that of the Hopi, who claim to have emerged from subterranean tunnels beneath the Grand Canyon long ago, aided by what they called ant people, who again did not resemble upright walking insects, but got their name because of the underground network of tunnels, which are reminiscent of tunnels built by ants. The legend said that about 4 to 5,000 years ago, great cataclysmic fires on the surface likely caused by an enormous meteor shower, fell on the western coast, covering an area of hundreds of miles wide. Winslow Crater in northern Arizona is only one of the pieces that fell from the sky at that time. The ancient builders, purportedly more advanced intellectually than modern humans, tunneled through rock using chemicals instead of picks and shovels, and constructed huge domed caverns housing thousands of families. So greatly advanced scientifically were these people that, in addition to perfecting a chemical solution by which they bored underground without removing earth and rock, they also developed a cement far stronger and better than any in use in modern times with which they lined their tunnels and rooms. Thousands of people were killed, their crops wiped out, dwellings destroyed, and the forest set on fire. Survivors met and began plans for a safe area to be used as refuge in the event of another catastrophe. They were preparing for an oncoming apocalypse, which they imagined as periodic global cataclysms that would come as a great tongue of fire enveloping the earth. As the lizard people burrowed deeper underground, they kept records of the history of mankind, etched onto giant gold tablets. Soon, the lizard people had built a complex maze of underground tunnels and antechambers using advanced chemicals to ease their process. Inside this vast network of tunnels and catacombs were 16 treasure rooms, each allegedly containing enormous gold tablets with perfect corners, sides, and ends. The subterranean complex Shufelt had discovered was designed to accommodate thousands of people, and valuable personal belongings, utensils, and food were stored in the complex, along with historical records and gold treasures. As a result of the information he received from Chief Little Greenleaf, Shufelt believed that the underground complex he had discovered was one of 13 built all over the Southwest. I decided to stop for some Thai food at Lum Ka Nad in Encino, California. I wanted to order the coconut soup, but it's very hard for me to resist this Potak seafood soup. It's always fresh and a little on the spicy side, very delicious. Next up was the shrimp pad khi mao, which was good, but I prefer when they use bigger noodles. But it was still excellent, so it gets a thumbs up. Despite all of his extensive mapping and plotting of the treasure-filled underground city, Shufelt never officially found it. Shortly after the Time story appeared, the project, which had been authorized by the city council over a year earlier, suddenly ceased, and Shufelt eventually passed away in 1957 and is buried in North Hollywood. The whole mysterious Hopi legend was written off as a conspiracy theory and quickly forgotten. Since then, inexplicable tunnels have been unearthed in downtown Los Angeles, but they've been usually explained away as the work of smugglers hiding illegal Chinese laborers in the 19th century. But Shufelt wasn't the only modern Californian who believed that an ancient underground city lay beneath Los Angeles. As a postscript to this tale, there's the vision of Miss Edith Eldon Robinson of Pico Rivera, which appeared in the highly respected American Society for Psychic Research's journal. On the evening of December 22, 1933, 5 weeks before Shufelt's excavations hit the pages of the Times, the clairvoyant Miss Robinson envisioned that under Los Angeles lay, quote, a vast city in mammoth tunnels extending to the seashore. She said that the tunnels had been constructed by a vanished race to protect themselves from danger and to provide access to the sea. So, maybe this fabulous subterranean city really existed, since there are tunnels below many cities on all continents all around the world. The real question becomes, how deep do they really go, and are any of them still inhabited? My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.